Hey there, you bunch of smashers. This is Sarah Milliken. Welcome to the Standard Issue podcast. In this episode, me and Standard Issue editor Mickey Noonan had a hilarious time with Sue Perkins, Carrie Ed Lloyd and Zoe Ball. We talked about Roar and Fannies, Life After Sponge, Women in Boxes and Tickling the Pope's Balls. This episode was recorded in front of a live audience at Leicester Square Theatre in London. We've got a whole bunch of these booked in with awesome guests, including Mira Sayal, Joanna Scanlon, Alison Moyer, Janet Street Porter, Jenny Eclair, Olivia Coleman. Tickets are available from the Leicester Square Theatre website. A little bit of admin, just a quick reminder to please rate, review and subscribe to all of our podcasts on iTunes. And don't forget, from June, we're going weekly. And if you're interested in advertising with us, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at admin@standardissuemagazine.com. We've got events outside of London being booked in, so keep an eye on those on the Standard Issue page of my website, sarahmilliken.co.uk. You can visit our archive of articles at standardissuemagazine.com, follow us at Standard Issue UK on Twitter, or find us on Facebook and Instagram. Everything you hear is just our opinions, so don't get hit up, pets. Thanks. Right, I'll stop waffling on. Here we go. Welcome to the Standard Issue podcast. I am Sarah Milliken. I am, what am I?
Funny.
Thanks. I'm hoping, there was a bit of an accent and I wasn't sure if it was funny or fanny. Yeah. But if I'm honest, I'll take
it. I am fanny.
I am fanny.
Hear me roar.
Hear me roar. I thought you said eat me raw.
Is there any other way, though?
You could cook
so
it.
You
don't
char
know.
Grill, do you?
With the black lines on. Oh no.
Just medium rare.
I am a comedian and writer, and I am part of the Standard Issue podcast team. Let's call it that. Is that all right?
That's all right. I'm not your mum.
Thanks,
well,
Mum.
Well done, Sarah. Well
Thank
done.
You. Carrie Ed.
Hello, I'm Carrie Ed Lloyd. Got my own surname there. I'm a guest on the Standard Issue podcast tonight. Ooh. I am also Fanny. because in a way, we are all Fanny.
Oh, Sarah, that's our new tagline.
Yeah, we are all Fanny.
We're all
hashtag,
Fanny.
Hashtag all Fanny. I'm a comedian, an actor, an improviser, and I've got that thing where I'm so tired, there's no censor. And so I'm literally in my head going, don't say that, don't say that, don't say that. So
say it.
That's why we booked you. We heard you didn't have a censor.
I'm on my period, so I'm feeling a little bit tired. You know, in your like second day period, you just feel like everything's like, oh.
But just, haven't you got the horny bit to come?
No, I had the horny bit before.
Oh, I'm in the middle.
Oh, really? Mm. Isn't that messy?
Yeah, I don't always do much about this. I just sort myself out and I don't mind it. Genuinely.
I get the horny bit before.
Oh, wait, then so you've got to get it in quick.
Yeah, and then he's all happy. Then I'm like, oh, it was my period.
It wasn't anything to do with you.
Yeah, I wonder what that was. I wonder what was happening. But yeah, I've got that second day, like, so when, like, you're on the tube and if someone, like, accidentally brushes you, you're like, ah, ow! Oh, people are loud. The trains are noisy. Like, everything is... Yeah, so sorry. that's the uncensored version of how... Is this therapy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. Cool.
Sue, where are you on your cycle?
I've got a wall chart if anyone's interested, but I'm kind of midday 13, so nicely in the middle.
Oh, that's the best bit, middle bit.
God, the bar's been set quite high now for personal revelation already, hasn't it?
I'm sorry.
Done fanny, done periods. What else would you like to know? I'm sort of post-sponge, that's where I'm at now.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Sort of in a life after sponge.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of my life before was sponge-based, and now it's post-sponge.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're coming... I was like, sponge,
on the
fanny
period.
Sponge.
Yeah, fanny sponge.
Yes, cake sponge.
This is like the weirdest support group slash girl band ever. We got news that Bananarama were regrouping, so we thought, there's time, girls, come on, let's grasp the metal.
How
does post-sponge feel, by the way?
It feels all right.
Does it good?
It okay. feels all right.
It'll never be the same.
Oh, I don't know. So sad, says one person. In other news, though, if we're talking about news, like you're on your... I've adopted a dog. This is my big year.
Oh, yay!
And she is our pride and joy, and I love her.
What's she called?
Well, her previous name, her previous drug mule name was Tia. And she's now called called Tig, yeah. So we rehomed her from a place in Stoke, and she's really sweet. And when we first got her, she hadn't been spayed. So we said, we're going to spay her. And the next day, she just... literally, it's like all the periods in the world suddenly happened, right? And she bled up the walls, and she bled on the carpet, and she bled everywhere. And so she had to wear a nappy for a month.
Aww.
And she's also got separation anxiety. So I was saying backstage, she has to come wherever I go. And I was touring, and she used to sit in her dog nappy on stage. And she was way fucking funnier than I was. So a lot of focus.
So Zoe.
Yes.
Shoot. I'm Zoe Ball, and I'm perimenopausal.
Which means I'm getting quite...
hot and hairy.
Yeah. I've read that magazine.
Really horny. I feel like it's sort of my last hurrah. Has anyone gone through the menopause here? Yes. Oh, God, you're all so goddamn young.
They did sound really tired, though. yeah, we have.
Is it going to get better? Okay. Do I do HRT or do I do the funny tea stuff? Oh, you see, this is the quandary.
So when my mum went through the menopause, the doctor said to her, you might get a bit of spotting. And my mum said, should I get some Clearasil? Not that kind of spotting.
Can I just tell a slightly related note? I was in the chemist today, and there's no word behind. The man in front of me said, can I have some cream for my asteroids? It's just... I literally didn't know it. I just sat there, just waiting, laughing behind anyway.
A spaceman in the pharmacist.
Some very difficult asteroids.
Mickey Noonan.
Shall I do... Oh, do you want me to say who I am?
Yeah, I'd like that, please.
My name's Mickey Noonan, and I'm the editor of Standard Issue magazine, and I'm still keeping that title for the podcast, but part of the podcast team.
We could change it to, like, boss bitch or something like that, if you want.
Yeah. I mean, that is what my mum originally wanted to call me. Boss bitch Noonan. Yes, that
just
is my
scan.
Noonan.
It scans nicely.
It's really good, I like it. Sue Perkins.
Does meerkat face.
What did you want to be when you were a kid?
In all seriousness, when I was a kid, I wanted to be an eye surgeon. Because I did. I always wanted to be. I know. Because when I was four, I had a really bad eye, and I went to a children's hospital. Now, like so many, closed. But I had this really big eye operation, and when I woke up. There was this really sweet woman. I had stitches like, you know, Frankenstein's monster going, and someone's finding that hilarious. The idea of a four-year-old child with a stitched eye. Finally, we've hit pay dirt, comedic pay dirt. And I sort of fell in love with this woman, and I thought, I want to do that. And then I realised you needed science to do that. And I failed every single science O-level I took, so I soon abandoned that. But, yeah, that's what I first wanted to do. I wanted to be somebody who saved lives and, you know, helped children see and all that sort of stuff. And look at me now. Ridiculous. I've sort of done the opposite. But, yeah, I did.
You haven't made children blind.
You don't know that I haven't made children blind. When I found out I wasn't clever at science enough to be an eye surgeon, I set about darkening children's worlds.
I will have my vengeance.
If I can't bring light, I shall bring darkness. No, I want to make it clear I've not blinded any children. That would be a terrible thing.
But, yeah, sure, whatever.
I'm not one of those kids that sort of thought, oh, I want to be in shoe business, because I was born in Croydon. And we, you know, you don't do shoe... You know what I mean? It's not showbizzy, is it? You know, the streets are paved with concrete, not sort of showbiz glitter. So, yeah, I might well yet be an eye surgeon. If I get the requisite GCSE in biology.
Zoe, what about you?
I wanted to be a Saw the Lady in Half trick lady. Yeah. And I really did.
We can make that happen tonight.
It can happen tonight.
Not even the magician?
No, I wanted to be the lady who was sawn in half. Yeah, and I did. Me and my friend Eva made our very own. It was at Glastonbury. We had been up for days. We made our very own cardboard saw the lady in half tree. It was terrible. And we tried to make people come and pay to see me sort of sawing, me sort of like shoved up one end and her up the other end with the legs.
Is
with a cardboard
it?
Saw.
Is that how they do it?
Yeah, they have like a fake. Should I not? I'll be never be allowed in the magic circle.
But you're not in the magic circle. No, so they can't
not.
Throw you out.
Is, this is true. Thing. This is true. But yeah, I think that's accurate. And I've kind of asked people if they'd, you know, it's not the kind of thing. I've tried to buy one online. And
don't
I've got,
give up the
I've got nowhere. If anyone has an in, you know, maybe Debbie McGee's still got one
they
somewhere.
They must have in the know, cupboard.
Maybe she, just, maybe she just gets in it every now and again yeah, when she's feeling sad.
Oh, when she's missing Paul.
Oh, don't. Oh.
We say she just climbs into a water tank or a saw and half tank. Or just gets out the shiny shorts and the cape.
Looks down at the other end and there's no legs on the other side. She's just there.
And she just does this to nothing.
That's so sad.
That is sad.
Do a microwave meal for one.
Bless me.
Carrie Ann, what about you?
I wanted to be Madonna. I wanted to be Madonna. I didn't really understand that she was Madonna. And so it was taken. And I didn't really understand what it meant. But I knew that if I put a scarf around my head and said, like, I'm seeking Susan, lots of the adults would laugh. So that's what I used to do. And it just seemed to make people laugh when I said it. So, I kept on saying it. I thought, this is good material, but I didn't really understand why they were laughing. But yeah, just Madonna or a member of Bananarama. That was the other option.
Which one?
I didn't know which one was which. Because I just had the tape and I just really liked them and my mum liked them. And I said once I could be in that and she said yes. I thought, oh, that's made her happy. That's good. So
like the Sugar Babes. You could probably be in the Sugar
Babes. Yeah. Who hasn't been in the Sugar Babes?
I've been a Sugar Babe.
I've been a Sugar Babe. Early doors.
Yeah, so I just wanted to be Madonna. And actually, look at her. She's done well. It would have been a good career choice.
That's on Madonna's next poster. Madonna, she's done well.
Yeah, she's done well. Oh, she's done very well.
Sarah, what about you?
Oh, I wanted to be a vet. And similar to Sue, I found out that it was science and not just cuddling rabbits. I was really good at cuddling rabbits. They hardly ever resisted. It's got a couple now, but a different kind. I do sometimes cuddle him as well when I'm sad. I found out that I had to go, because you have to go to university to be a vet for even longer than to be a doctor.
It's seven years. It's as long as an architect.
It's as long
it's
as
seven for a vet.
Why do architects need to go
Whoa,
to five?
Someone's shouting five, someone but my cousin did seven, so why?
Did your cousin have to repeat a couple of years?
I
or did you not learn everything? Did you not bother about llamas? Just fuck them off. It's not going to come up, is it? I did a work experience in a veterinary hospital and I retched pretty much the whole time I was there. And they let me just label bottles for 4 days. So I think I could probably get a job in a factory. But yeah, it's too much science, not enough cuddling.
And a lot of death in the vets game as well.
Mm. Oh, no, they just save lives. They never...
They never die.
They never die.
They asked me if I wanted to sit in an operation on my work experience, and I was like 14, and I was like, sure, how bad can that be? And they were doing a hysterectomy on a dog.
Oh, God.
And it was a huge dog as well. And they had a bucket on the floor and I sort of kicked it and they went, oh, don't kick that, that's to gather the pus. And I was like, yeah, does anybody want a cup of tea? So that's why I didn't do that.
There's nothing like a pussy canine cervix to put you off. They tell you that's careers advice at school, do they?
Mickey, what did you want to be?
I always wanted to be a writer, a journalist.
Oh.
Or I wanted to be a lawyer for a while, but my mum told me I wasn't tough enough to be a lawyer or a journalist, but she hadn't bargained for the arts. And that's what I started doing, and yeah.
So you're the only one that's achieved your goal. Apart from that, Carrie is quite Madonna, aren't you?
Look, I am approaching Guy Ritchie. I stalk him and I've got a flat cap. So
good enough.
Yeah,
we could saw Zoe in half. I mean, I'm just saying.
We should.
We could make that happen tonight.
That's an achievable dream.
What if we just got her to like lie behind the curtains and just stick her head out this end? Would that be enough? Would that be close enough?
I was hoping for a bit more than that. I want you to turn me around like that.
Like on a lazy Susan.
Yeah, on a lazy Susan. Yeah.
Not the first time I've been called that.
We can.
What would you say are the best and worst things about your work and life?
Oh, blimey. The best thing is that, like, as you'd expect, doing comedy and improvisation acting is there is a lot of fun things, and there are moments when you are getting, you know, you're dressed as Hillary Clinton, and you know you're improvising with Richard Osman, and you're getting paid, and you think this is really fun. But on the same day, when you're locked in the cupboard breast pumping, and I just had a baby, it wasn't just for fun. I wasn't just like, oh God, I just need to go and breast pump myself. And you've been there for, you know, you got up at 4 a.m. and you're not getting home till 11 p.m. and then they shoot you, and then they're saying you have to lie in this puddle. When you say, can I not lie in this puddle? They go, we've only got 5 minutes. And, you know, so I always think with what I do, it is what you expect. There are moments where you think, oh my God, that's the best job in the world. And then there are the moments which are just not remotely glamorous and are shit. But you're not allowed to moan at them, because then everyone's like, you're so ungrateful. You're like, oh, but it is shit lying in a puddle. That is rubbish.
Why do you have to be locked in a cupboard to breast pump?
Oh, they had to find me a little cupboard to do it, didn't they? And they...
Your tits that offensive?
Yeah. They were. I've stopped breastfeeding now. They were so ginormous. I'm really oversharing. I'm so tired.
I like it. I'm
I have a 5-month-old baby, so... I've left her. I'm having a drink.
But also, not as big an art as Sue's rescue dog.
No, I know. I completely expect that with English people. It's just like animals, like, baby. They go,
It's fine to leave her, but don't leave the staff you rescue.
One of my friends, we always call them fur babies, because we've both not got kids, we've got pets instead, and we call them fur babies, and she started calling actual babies skin babies.
Oh,
how's your skin, baby cat?
That's a little bit creepy. It's a little bit uncomfortable. But yeah, I don't, like, I have to say, I love my job and I love my life so much, and I've worked very hard to have my life the way I want it to be. But it's just like anything. Nothing is perfect, is it? There's always the other side of it that is also quite difficult. But before I did this, I mean, I didn't do comedy till I was much, much older, like 28 really. So I did a lot of really shit jobs, like really shit. So I feel like I'm always so grateful now. If anything, if I'm on set, I'm so grateful, because it's not Deborah Smith's, it's not working.
Oh, I worked in WH.
So did Sarah Pascoe. Deborah Smith.
Did you have the skirt with the slot in for the pen?
No.
Oh, that must have been before your time.
Wow, I wish I did.
That was the best era of WH Smith.
I had every job I ever worked at, they'd go, what size are you carrying? And I'd go, do you have a small? And they'd go, we've only got an extra, extra large. And I'd go, I think that's going to be... Well, it's all we have. So I had a fleece that came down to my shins. And the little bit, I used to zip it up because it was so cold. And it sort of looked like I had tiny legs. I worked at Dummies.
I think you might have got my cast-offs.
I worked at a pub where the National Front drank. I worked for... Yeah, it was awful. I worked for a call centre where you had to ring up to check postcodes. Like, I honestly, the worst jobs ever. So now anything that isn't those jobs,
lying
I'm like...
Lying in a puddle sounds like a piece of piss.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, not exactly. Piss, but, you know, that sounded bad. Sue, what are the best and worst things about your work and life, do you think?
The best thing is I mainly get to work with my busy mate, and it's a job where I just feel free, and I feel... very, very blessed. I've done lots of terrible jobs, and I have slight attention issues, so I'm not very good in office environments. So for me, when I think about my job, I think of being able to just play and be youthful. The worst thing is the having to sort of dress the part. So I love the chat, and I love the interviewing, and I love meeting people, I love being curious, I love the travelling, I love all of it. but it's when you have to look like you're on television, in inverted commas, when they try and make you wear the clothes and the shoes, and people are like, what are you wearing? I need some jeans. I don't know why they, you know, but where, who made them? I don't know. And Mel and I, I think we were voted worst dressed at the BAFTAs 2, maybe 3 years running. And genuinely, I used to go to her house beforehand, and we'd have some drinks, and we hadn't even planned what we were wearing. And I had a bag of just stuff. Genuinely, like, just thrown in, because I just can't bear to, I just feel really awkward. That sort of stuff, I just want people to focus on what we're doing rather than what we're wearing. And I think it's so incredibly important. I can't. And so, you know, those starchy sort of things, which are a privilege, by the way. It's a privilege to maybe, you know, go to somewhere swanky, and it's a privilege to go to the opening or something. It's a privilege to go and maybe get nominated for an award that eventually you won't win. But it's... and do that sort of cheesy grin face. But I do find... It reminds me of being at school. It reminds me of being at school and everybody looking super pretty and wearing the right thing, and me just being slightly awkward and shy and stammering and scratchy and looking like a jumble sale had exploded around me. And I still have, and we all have, those sorts of insecurities. And it's at those moments that I'm reminded of them really, really explicitly, I think. And so, yeah. So I think that television should be done in darkness.
You're all about the darkness.
Yeah, all about it. Yeah, you're right, radio, and I love radio. But even I love telly too, and there's lots of things that I do which don't demand me looking primped. But yeah, it's the primping that I have issues with.
Zoe?
I think you look amazing.
Yeah. That's very sweet of you. Because you're just far enough away. Take a little step here. That's going to change.
Is that your mum?
It is my mum, yeah. She always comes with me. Always.
Zoe?
My job. To be honest with you, it's all a pleasure. Because, I mean, I can't really believe I've gotten away with it for so many years. Because effectively, I just bumble on, really. Generally with no point. And I do love my job. And it's quite random. Yeah, I just get to have a bit of a laugh. I interviewed Warren Beatty the other day. Although he's his baby. Yeah, and that was amazing. I mean, he's 80, wow. But I still would. Yeah. No, I wouldn't. I was only joking. No, but so we get to do sort of crazy things like this. This week I've got to interview Kevin Bacon.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that exciting?
Oh,
I love the bacon. So so I kind of love all of that. But on a similar note, I actually quite like the dressing up because I have these two amazing girls, Heather and Lisa, and I sit in a chair all hairy and sweaty, and they kind of go... And then I come out and I'm like that. Wow, look at this. And then people see in the supermarket and like, Jesus. Close up. And I quite like that bit, but I don't like having my photo taken. I hate it.
I hate that.
Because in my mind, I look like Christy Turlington, cover of Elle magazine, 1984. And in reality, I sort of look like the woman of... Well, no, I'm not going to say that because that'd sound harsh against her. But anyway, I'll tell you later. And but also,
is it me?
When you have your photograph taken, you have to sort of stand in all these sort of poses and pout and all that bollocks, and I can't do it. I hate it. I'm better moving as a still image. It's too much.
So
too much.
In your ideal world, all photos of you would be blurry.
Yes.
Because you've just been moving the whole time.
Or a flip book. You might have come up with something there. That's a great idea.
Get it spinning.
That's what Hello Magazine should be. Just a flip book of people being like, be more interesting.
Do you want to talk about what's the worst and best of your life?
I was worried that I might have answered this before. We can say it and just cut it out of the podcast if I've said it a million times. I think the best thing is that I love my job. Like, especially live stuff is my favourite thing. So this sort of thing or being on tour, I love it. I love it so much. And I feel sort of sometimes more comfortable on stage than off stage. I know that sounds like a weird thing, but I do feel like it's sort of where I belong. And the worst thing, I'm not great at being recognised. Mm. I'm not, because I'm quite shy, which is hard to believe when you do this for a living. There's a supermarket that I've been to a few times, and when I get to the till, there's a lady packing and a lady on the till, and she'll say, oh, I recognise your accent, where are you from? And I say, oh, I'm from South Shields. And she'll say, oh, you sound like that comedian. And then she'll say to the one packing the bags, do you think she's funny?
Oh, no.
And then, at no point think that it might be me. And I pack my bags so fast, there's tins on eggs. It's a fucking shambles. And it's the quickest I've ever gone from no migraine to migraine was by the time I got in the car, I had a migraine because I was so stressed at them discussing me in third person. Whether I don't know, sometimes she's going, ah, ah. So what we do now is we go around the shop together, and this works out really well for me. When we get to the till, I sit in the car and I don't have to pay for the food, and my husband just packs it, pays for it, and I'm like, oh, I feel much better now. Didn't have to pay for the food. So that's what I'm not very good at that. I'm not, like, I wish I could go, hey guys, it is me. Let's all have a selfie. Sorry, I didn't put any makeup on for the shops. So I'm not very good at that. But that is far outweighed by just, you know, going to work and it not feeling like work. And Mickey Noonan?
I like writing and editing and words. So it's good. It's all good. This when you first started making me do this, I love you, but I wanted to punch you in the cunt.
Harsh.
Yeah, but I did not want to be on stage. But now I'm.
I made you do it. I'm so sorry, but you're really good at it.
Thanks, love. Thanks.
And I'm glad you didn't. I mean, if it had been a little gentle jab, that might have been quite nice. But I probably. If you're swinging it back, if there's backswing, I'm not interested.
If you could go for a pint or a cup of tea with anyone from history, any woman from history, who would you go for a drink with? And I'm going to start with Cariad.
Oh, yeah.
Mainly because you tried to hide on stage.
I know, I did, didn't I? I was weighing up. I was like, because this is tricky. I would definitely like to go for a pint with, well, not a pint, like a bourbon with Dorothy Parker, because it would just be so entertaining. But then I think Dorothy Parker would probably say something mean about you at the end of it. She'd be one of those, wouldn't she? But you'd feel privileged because she'd say something mean about you. And I'm also obsessed with the Mitfords, but that sometimes upsets people because, yes, okay, a couple of them were definitely Nazis. definitely Nazis. They were definitely, like, but they're so fascinating. If you don't know anything about the Mitfords, they were this family in the 1920s, you know, sort of landed gentry family. And every single event of the 20th century, the four girls were involved in some way. So Unity Mitford is the only person who met Hitler and Winston Churchill, because she was friends with Winston Churchill, and then at the start of the war went over to Germany because she loved Hitler. And she wrote to Winston Churchill just before the war, was like, you know, dear Winston, Adolf really is lovely. You know,
he sends his love.
Yeah, he sends love. Yeah, like, and I actually think Nancy would be the best one. If you haven't read any of her books, she's a very funny, witty lady. Did literally, sorry, I've had a baby. What's the name of any Nancy? Love in the... Love Nicole Kimet. Do you know what came into my head? Love in the Time of Cholera. And I was like, no, incorrect.
Good magic realist face.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's Gabrielle Garcia Marquez. I know. Yeah, so if they're just, I just think they're just incredible, you know, every single one of them was involved. And then Decker Mitford was involved in the civil rights movement in America. So, you know, they, not all bad. One of them was on the right side of history. Two of them definitely weren't. But yeah, I'd go for Nancy Mitford, please.
I can't make it happen, but okay. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to go, that's why.
Sue, what about you?
I think I'd go for Pope Joan. So Joan is pretty cool. If you've ever read or seen Carol Churchill, who's a great sort of feminist writer, Top Girls, then Pope Joan gets quite a big sort of starring role in that. Can't remember what century Pope Joan was toshing about in, but early doors. And... let's say the 8th or 9th, but decided that she wanted to be Pope. And, of course, it was absolutely impossible for women to enter the clergy, to get an education, to do any of those sorts of things. She thought stuff and nonsense. So dressed herself as a man, got an education, and rose through the ecclesiastical ranks and became Pope. And the story goes, and had a child as well. And the story goes that now, I'm not sure if this is true or not, it's apocryphal, but that there is a hole in the papal seat so that someone, a little minion, after the old puffs of smoke have gone up and they know who's going to be Pope, can just stick their hand and tickle the bollocks and make sure that the Pope is a bloke.
Ooh. Ooh. I bet that's real, isn't it?
Whose job is that?
I don't know, but I'm now going to revise my thing about being an eye surgeon. I want that job. Oops, smoke's gone. Yep, all clear.
Only if you always do that sound.
cartoon fondling papal bollock sound.
That's what Debbie McGee does now. Goes under the chair.
She does one of those women in history that kind of is a sort of shortcut to those stories we all love about somebody who just looks at the prevailing climate and goes, no, I want to do something bigger and bolder and better, and no one's going to tell me no. And so I'd go for her.
How long was she Pope? And was she a real Pope?
She was Pope for
there?
Quite a while.
She was
she?
Pope yeah. for quite a while.
Where was she Pope of? Like Pope of the world?
Just the Pope of the Catholic Church Pope.
Right, okay. Yeah, the Pope. There is no other Pope.
Da Pope. Da Pope.
To clear that up.
To use the Catholic parlance.
Is there you know, like when you go to the Pope's house?
Yeah.
What's it called?
The Vatican.
Thank you very much.
Pope's house.
Is there like a portrait? Or have they kind of ignored her? Oh, she remembered and celebrated.
I think they've written her out.
I thought so.
Because, you know, I've actually been
to... Outrageous.
It's really creepy, the Pope's house. Well, I've not been to the Pope. I've been to where all the... You know, they used to go through a phase of going, oh, I've got St. Peter's sort of, you know, finger, and they had all the weird bones and stuff. And there's a crypt downstairs with lots of sort of murdered popes. But no, Joan's not there. Did they murder her? I can't remember. Did she kill?
I think they... Didn't they drag her through the streets?
See, let's forget that bit. Let's end that anecdote on that searing, soaring moment in history where a woman excelled in the face of the patriarchy. Let's cut out the bit where they dragged her through the streets by her hair and probably dispatched her. But yeah, no, she's not. She's been airbrushed out of all of it because it's the biggest embarrassment. Can you imagine? But yes, and that's why there's a big sort of... Almost like you're sitting on a toilet seat and someone could just put their hand under... Give the old,
I like the fact that they feel they still have to do that. Like there's any doubt that they could, in
they
fact,
like
be...
It. They're just enjoying it now.
I'm also thinking of what you could put there if you wanted to pretend you were a man that would represent...
Oh, yeah.
Bollocks. What would you
use? Oh, now that's complex, isn't it? you'd have to go... what I would do, I mean... You'd want something sort of pliant. I'd probably just go for a couple of classic water bombs and the old condom.
Oh, yes. Oh, I was thinking like kiwis, but they may be a bit hard.
A very young Pope with testicles like a kiwi.
or a lychee, almost. A lychee.
Lychees.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I like as a compliment for a man. I'll tell you what, though. You have testicles like kiwis.
You want some proper boar bags, don't you? You want some really sort of
two
voluminous...
Boiled eggs.
I'd fill a couple of condoms. Makes a freaking massive great gonads. And then sit on the old papal cushion and let them fondle away. You could just get me for you.
You could just get some testicles from a butcher's or something.
Oh, no, that's... Do they sell
sweetmeats?
Sweetmeats?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, what... Who named them sweetmeats?
A man.
Is that a bloke?
Some bloke.
A man, yeah. Clearly. Darling, these are sweetmeats, trust me. Oh, they taste like balls.
What?
No, darling. Sweetmeats. Lovely.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's been a while, but I wouldn't have said sweetmeats.
It's not been a while, and I still wouldn't say sweetmeats.
Zoe, what about you?
I just read this really good book called Flappers, and it's about six women, and who's it? Tallulah Bankhead, Zelda Fitzgerald, the artists Tamenka Limbikna. I can't say her name, I just say it really fast. Tamara Limbikna. Who was an artist. And then who else is on there? There's another three who I can't remember. But anyway, these are women who were all sort of born at that time and then saw their lives were just incredible because it was the sort of change for women when, women had gone from sort of, being sort of seen, not heard. And suddenly, and these six women, the other three I can't remember, their lives, just the change in their lives. And they were all wild, wild, wild women who, Tallulah Bankhead was, I think she moved to New York City when she was 15. 15 and was living in the Algonquin Hotel. Is that what you say? That's it. Thank you. Yeah. And she was, I mean, she was going to wild parties, taking cocaine, you know, she was acting, doing all that stuff. I mean, her life was just incredible and quite tragic, obviously, because I love a bit of a tragic story. And also with Zelda Fitzgerald as well, just wild lives they had, really passionate women, really, you know, very, very clever, very bright, often quite persecuted. But I'm not describing it very well. It's an amazing book just to sort of see these six women whose lives changed quite dramatically through that period of time. Yeah. And how clever they were and how outrageous they were, to the point where you look and go, my God, the 90s was really quite dull. I fully recommend it. I don't know who wrote it. It's called Flappers. It's brilliant. Anyway, there you go.
It sounds like it'd be more than one drink as well.
Yes.
It'd be like a lost week and a half.
Oh, more than that, yeah. Yeah. Outrageous.
Yeah. Sarah, what about you?
Can it be recently history?
Are you just going to tell me who you went for a cup of tea with yesterday?
No. I kind of wish I'd been able to sit and have a cup of tea with Victoria Wood and Carolina Hearn. Sorry to bring it down, everybody, but
I agree with you.
I think that would be awesome.
Why don't they repeat? Sorry. Why don't they repeat more Victoria Wood stuff? Why isn't it? Dad's Army is on all the time. Like, why don't they just repeat all her stuff on the BBC?
I think Dinner Ladies is on Dave.
Oh, is it? It's brilliant. I love Dinner Ladies so much.
But so singular. What a singular voice. No one in the world could have ever done what she did. Mm-hmm. In fact, what both of them did. Yeah, I think that's a. I don't think that's brought the room down. I think it's really good to remember people who excelled.
Yeah.
And they both excelled.
And also just people who, it feels a bit to me like without them, my job wouldn't exist really without people like that, you know, and sort of Joe Brand and people like that. It's quite weird to think how not that long ago my job wasn't for women, you know, it was purely for men. And without women being sort of trailblazers like that, it wouldn't have happened. So I think it would be awesome to sit in a nice cafe with proper napkins, you know. Not serviettes or kitchen roll like at home.
I actually watched Two Soups the other day with my 7-year-old daughter.
The best sketch
and
ever.
At the moment, my 7-year-old daughter watched it, laughed. I loved the fact that she kind of got it. And I was like, this lady's really, really funny. And then she watched it. And then she made me and sort of reenact it several times. And she was just watching my daughter try to come through a door holding two plastic plates and put them down. And then right at the end go, no tip, bastards. A lovely moment in my life.
Julie Waters is entirely why I wanted to do this. Like, I watched that Two Soup sketch and I just thought, Julie, I mean, that is, again, I feel she's so underappreciated. Like, we don't, compared to actors, male actors, I think, of her age, who everyone's like, oh, like, Julie Waters is incredible what she's done, from comedy to serious stuff and starting out in sketch comedy. I mean, she's still alive, is my point, so we can get her for a cup of tea.
Let's do that. Let's talk that for next time.
I think as well with someone like Julie Waters, the fact that she's still going, and, you know, a lot of, for women, you get to a certain age and the roles aren't there anymore. You don't see women of a certain or over a certain age on our screens as much anymore, but you get the odd few, Judi Dench, Julie Waters, and yeah, she's amazing.
Who would you? Oh, I was going to say, who would you have a cup of tea with, Mickey?
Started asking me questions.
Oh, sorry. Okay,
it's all right.
Did you just not have an answer?
No, I've got an. All right. Chopsy O'Hara in the corner.
Oh, can that be my new name? Chopsy O'Hara. Yeah.
I love it.
Sorry.
I would like to go for a pint with one of the suffragettes, but not your Pankhurst. I'd like to go with one of the working class soldiers who actually had to give up so much and lost their family and were thrown into prison. And before that, though, I'd go for the drink before they were thrown into prison. I'm not an idiot. Just sort of find out, because that bit of history hasn't really been charted because there was no one to write down their story because they weren't wealthy. So I'd do that.
True.
Good. Thank you. I've got one, but if you've got a question, go for it, love.
Okay, I was going to say, you're all funny women. Funny women.
funny women.
What never fails to make you crack up? I'm going to start with Sue Perkins.
Mel.
Yes.
Mel never fails to make me laugh. But it's
she didn't say that when she was here.
She wouldn't. because she's a graceless bitch. But her one saving grace is Rachel. No, it, but it's more than that. Just it's because it's not like she'll make a joke and I'll laugh. It's just the way that we are when we are together. And I'm sure everyone feels that when they're around somebody they really love, whether it's a partner or a best mate or a work colleague or whatever. But I am 7 years old when I see her, and I remain 7 years old and playful and young at heart until I get on the bus and go home. And I'm just profoundly lucky to have that relationship. And the work stuff is an adjunct to that. But, you know, we sort of met and we just found... We're little twin souls, so always. And there are phrases that make no sense to anyone in this world that I can email her or text her. And I know that wherever she is, like she was on holiday about 5,000 miles away from me, and I knew that she was laughing. She would have got up in the middle of the night and read it, everyone laughed. And the same thing. And to anyone else, it's just gibberish, because we are puerile, nonsensical bellends, the Daily Mail. But yeah, and my dog in a nappy, and my partner. In fact, I'm gifted with people who make. I'm very blessed. Lots of people make me laugh. But yeah, I shout out to her because she's been making me laugh for 30 years. That's quite a long time. So it's all good.
That's lovely. Carryard.
Oh, it's just. I mean, obviously, I love comedy, and there's a lot of comedians that I absolutely adore, and it's so embarrassing, but what never fails. I'm sorry, I'm being so disgusting. Is farting. Like, it just... We're a family of farters. And I like to think of myself as quite an intelligent woman and I'm well-read, but I wish I didn't. But it just... This just my brother walking into a room farting and leaving. It's like... And he'll save it up, you know, and he'll come in, give me a wink, and... It's just how my family sort of say we love you. There's lots of stories. So, like, I've told that my dad once cleared a lift because his fart was so bad. He got, like, I don't know what's wrong. Our guts are bad. It's just bad. And he got on the lift. obviously, you know, he farted. Thought, oh, God, oh, dear. And then it stank lift so bad. The next, whatever floor it got off, everybody got off. And they said they all just turned and looked at him, and he was like, just sort of shrugged his shoulders, sorry. And then my brother once, so this is family stories, my brother was on the tube, and he was really hungover, so it was even worse. And he got up, and if you got on the tube, like when you stand up, your bum is at head height, right? So he was walking off the tube, and he was like, oh no, oh no, oh no. And he was farting as he was going along. I can't believe I'm telling this. He was farting as he was going along, like fart, 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 and he had to get to the doors. But he had to do like a row of people. And he said one by one, they were like, oh, oh, oh.
Fart dominoes.
Yeah, fart domino. Literally. And then he got off, looked behind, and they all sort of suddenly realised and looked to him, and again he did the Lloyd. Sorry. So I wish it was something more clever. I really, but it's just, it always...
I was once on the metro in Tainui, and I did a really big fart, but I had a four seat to myself, and it was my stop, so I did a really big fart, and then I got off, and I waited on the platform while four young lads, woo, they had a four seater to themselves, and they all sat down, and then in the window they all went like, oh my God! So I think I would get on quite well with your brother.
I once wet myself laughing because as I opened the fridge, I farted, and the fart made the noise of a fridge opening. Never, ever, honestly, it took me 10 minutes to get off the floor. I was laughing so much.
It's so stupid, but you know, it just guaranteed, just like a well-timed... Well-timed fart is... It doesn't matter how much... I think because if you write comedy, you spend so much time thinking, OK, what would be the really good joke and good punchline? And you can't often beat someone farting at the end of something. We'll always get more laughs. Yeah, my brother once woke himself up on the tube farting. It was so... And that wasn't the noise, it was the smell.
When I was married the first time, I heard a noise. I woke up and heard a noise in the house, and I made my ex-husband go downstairs with like a bat or something. And he came back up and he went, no, nobody there. And it was only then that I realised, when it stank in the bedroom, that I had to woken myself up with a fart and then assumed it was an intruder.
It's so perfect. It's like, just like that your own body sometimes, you know, we try and be so civilised and controlled and you try and present this, oh, I am together, but your own body denies you sometimes. It's like, it's like, it's wonderful.
I've got a really good ability to pull the fart back up.
Oh, before. That is,
yeah,
that
when
is
you're
a
sort
skill.
Of meeting someone
really?
Important or something like that, somebody that I can you just do then, that where you can feel it coming and then you go, it just, you can sort of suck it back up into your bowels.
It doesn't then come out of
save
your,
it for later.
It doesn't then come out of your mouth, though, does it?
I reckon if you breathe too much in, yeah, it'd probably come out.
Oh, that's pleasant.
Do they
that's
teach really, you that? That's
you must have good...
What muscles are they?
Muscles, yeah. Yeah.
All of those ones. Yeah, yeah, can you, yeah, can do it. Just, no.
Just let it out.
No. No, okay.
But it so comes back out. How long can you hold it in for?
Days.
What's the best thing about getting older?
Big pants.
Oh, yes.
Big pants, comfortable shoes. I don't know. Do you know what? I'm starting to embrace the older age thing. Because you just to stop caring about stuff so much, which is quite nice. I think I've had a bit of a year of self-discovery. And that's not spending a lot of time wanking. It's kind of like just, I've been sort of doing a lot of
it
thinking about the past.
That.
You can evolve that, and I thoroughly recommend a lot of that. If you're alone a lot. And because it does release tension, doesn't it? And it makes you happy. Anyway,
I find it better than lavender on my pillow. Yeah.
Far more effective.
Yeah. Is there something, though, that if you, a lady comes, can I say that? Yeah. That you are then more awake? I don't bother doing it late at night, because then I'm really awake
away,
afterwards.
Out for the count.
Does anyone else have that? I mean, really? No.
It depends.
What was the question?
For me, personally, if there's someone else there who has helped it along...
Yeah.
I get a supervisor. Really... a manager role.
Can I start calling my husband my wank supervisor?
Sarah, you're actually down 10% this month, so we're really going to have to work very hard.
Oh, I love being told off. If my wank supervisor is there, then I get chatty, so it does wake me up. But if I'm on my own, nah.
Then you're all right.
Yeah,
right,
just okay. Out for that. I don't have to impress anybody. Sleep then.
Okay. Yeah. That, I'm glad we cleared that up. That's good to know.
So, what was your favourite thing about getting older?
It's gone from my mind now. I think, yeah, big pants, comfy shoes. These cost me £19 from Marks and Spencer's. They are so comfortable.
Nice.
These two are wearing yellow shoes, which I quite like as well. Yeah, it's like not having to care anymore. I've got a 16-year-old son, and now I can live my life precariously through him, which is joyous. The only thing is I have to worry about when he's going to get home, simply because I want to go to sleep. And at 11, I'm like, when's he going to get in? But just not having to care anymore. I'm looking forward to 50, which approaches fast. And I'm kind of like, yeah, once I get through this menopause bit, I'll let you know how it goes. Then I think I'm all clear, surely.
Sue, what do you like about getting older?
I love the fact that your eyesight deteriorates at the same rate as your face, so you don't notice. It's a massive consolation.
It's just...
That is handy.
And it's like, oh, look at you, evergreen. I don't even know it's a mirror I'm looking at, you know what I mean? It just could be a bit of blank wall. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. No, but Zoe's right. I had so much anxiety, I think, in my 20s and 30s about so many things, and most of those things were utterly irrelevant. And as a 40-something, I'm still anxious, but at least now I'm anxious about the state of the world and, you know, the fact that schools aren't funded and hospitals aren't funded properly, and what are we going to do with the climate change deniers, and how are we going to sort of save the planet for those who come later, and all those sorts of things. And so my anxiety is better spent, whereas before it was just on silly things like, oh, will they like me? And it's like, if they don't, they don't. There's the great thing about life is there's another person along every minute, and they might like you, they might get you. And I think I was so consumed with the idea that people would hate me or think I was an idiot that I just wasted time. So if there's people who are young out in the audience, don't waste time. You're amazing. We were discussing this earlier on. You look the best you're ever going to look.
Yes.
You're as
it's
young
downhill
and
from here. Yeah. That's what you're saying.
embrace. And even if you're 70 in the audience, you're the best you're ever going to look. Now, you know, get in that bikini and... So, yeah, no, I like it. I too will be 50 in a bit, not for a while, but, you know, that's my next big birthday. And, yeah, I'm just going to embrace it. What's not to like? Yeah. We're alive. Mm. What's this obsession? Oh, it's all down here. We're alive. Bloody enjoy it. Crack on. I'm going to paraglide the shit out of my 70s, I'm telling you. I'll be base jumping in my 90s.
Carrie Ed. I don't know how old you are.
Oh, I...
Do you?
No. I am...
Oh, God.
I'm 34. Sorry. 34. Because I do think after a point, I never know. You know, like, is it 35 or... I sometimes add a year and think, don't do that if you don't need to. I'm 34. I think the same. I think it just gets easier. I was in the pub the other day and I was speaking to a 21-year-old. Oh, bless. And they were like, I was like, oh, how are you? And they're like, oh my God, I'm so stressed because, like, you know, this thing at uni and then, like, my friend, but, like, my friend doesn't. And then, like, my other friend, but my boyfriend said no. And then they text and it wasn't. And I, like, there was this bar and I just thought, oh my God, none of this matters. And it was like the first time I was like looking, you know, because I was like, I'm still young, but I was like looking, thinking, oh, like, you, and I tried to say, but of course, you don't listen at 21. But I was like, I did say, this doesn't matter. She went, no, you don't understand, because my course and then my parents, it was so hard, but like, yeah. And then they didn't even say that, but I didn't know either. So I was like, so yeah, I think you just sort of slowly move away from all these thoughts and you go, oh, that was bullshit, it didn't matter. I mean, you do start worrying about other stuff, but I think Sue's right, it just gets, it seems to be stuff that matters a bit more. Mm. I've definitely got better at going, oh, they didn't like me. Oh, well. Whereas before, I'd be like, they didn't. Why? Why? Now I'm like, oh, they definitely didn't like me. Never mind. They made it quite clear. But that sort of thing used to destroy me for like a week, you know. I'd be like, oh, God. Oh, God. Now I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I guess, oh, it's because I don't like them as well. That's what's happening. Yeah, I think you just stop worrying as much, which is really nice. I wish you could tell 21-year-olds that, so just give them peace. Just got all that energy and mind time.
But
you're
don't
spending.
You think they'd be like, oh my God, this really old woman came up to me in a pub?
Yeah, literally. I could tell when I was saying to this girl, she was like a friend's
sister.
She was
talking about her period. Yeah. It was really weird.
Like, they were like totally. I was trying to explain to her, no, like, trust me, it gets better. And she really looked at me like, no, you're old. She was like, yeah, I don't think you get it. Because, like, I go to uni in London, it's really stressful. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. I thought you'd figure it out. And again, if I was younger, I would spend more time trying to help her. Now I was like, nah, sod it. Sort your life out. I don't care.
You'll find out in the end.
Yeah, you'll find out. Yeah.
Sarah, we have to go.
Oh, we do.
Yeah. Sorry, oh, sorry, do. Guys.
We have to, there's a show on after us and we have to go. Can we see if anybody has something to plug? Should we do that?
We can do that.
Do you have anything to plug?
I am in an improv group called Ostentatious. So we do improvised Jane Austen novels.
They are amazing.
Well, and we perform at Leicester Square once a month and we've got Edinburgh coming up and we're touring. So I should probably plug them. Ostentatiousimpro.com. is where you can find out where you can watch improvised Jane Austen.
So, have you got anything to plug?
Firstly, I'll say, have you registered to vote? Is everyone ready? Yes, to vote. Don't come bitching to me later on. Did you vote? No. So that's the most important thing. And I'm on Radio 2 on Saturdays from 3 till 6. If you're passing, it can be a bit annoying, but there's some good music. Thank you very much. Amazing.
I went to India and did a thing. I went down the Ganges from the Himalayas down to went back to Kolkata, and I think that's on in September. But it's, listen, it's a long way off. Don't worry about it. Just don't worry.
We'll
about
remind
it.
Them again just before that, if you
and
like.
I'm sure I'll probably pop up somewhere when it's a bit more concrete. But I think
and you're
Chloe's
doing the fringe,
nailed it. In the meantime, vote.
You're doing the fringe as well, aren't you?
Oh, I am. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I'm in Edinburgh. I'm doing touring, and I'm in Edinburgh. You are good. You are seamless, girl. So you can catch me in the last week of the Edinburgh Festival at the Pleasance.
Chopsy O'Hara in the corner.
Chopsy O'Hara. I have a tour going on sale at the probably at the end of June, and I will be coming to Big Posh London and various other places. And if you get on my mailing list, you get the information first, and pre-sale and stuff like that. And I'm also writing a book, but that's not outrageous. Thanks. Two people are going to buy that. That's good. Thank you ever so much for coming tonight. You've been such a fun audience. And please thank our panel of wonderful guests, Zoe Ball, Sue Perkins, and Carrie Edmund. Thank you very much. Good night.
You have been listening to Standard Issue in conversation with Mickey Noonan, Sue Perkins, Carrie Ed Lloyd, Zoe Ball, and me, Sarah Millican, recorded live at Leicester Square Theatre in London. The theme music and stings were composed and recorded by Fab Barry Hilton, all rights reserved. Thanks to Maddie Hickish for all tech things, to Jen Offord for organising the event, to all at Leicester Square Theatre in London, and to Sue, Carried and Zoe. All of our podcasts are available on iTunes and Podomatic. Thank you.